Amen. You may be seated. Study. We had a wonderful time at the nursing home today. I think we was probably close to 60 folks there, counting people from the church and the residents. We had a full house for sure. Brother James, they had great gratitude for the calendars. Thank you for that. Genesis 21, verse 1, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abram a son in his old age, at the set time which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck, for I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew, and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which had borne unto Abraham mocking. Verse 10. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in the sight because of the lad, and because of thy bondwoman, and all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice. For in Isaac shall thy seed be called, and also the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water, and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. Verse 15. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under the shrubs, and she went and set her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she set over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of the heaven, said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up thy lad, and hold him in thine hand, and I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the bottle with water, and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness, and became an archer. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran. And his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. And it came to pass at the time that Abimelech and Phicol, the chief captain of the host, spake unto Abraham, saying, God is with thee in all that thou doest. Now therefore, swear unto me here by God that thou wilt not deal falsely with me, nor with my son, nor with my son's son, but according to the kindness that I have done unto thee, thou shalt do unto me, and the land, and to the land wherein thou hast sojourned. And Abraham said, I will swear. Verse 25, and Abraham reproved Abimelech, because a well of water, which Abimelech's servants had violently taken away. And Abimelech said, I will not. Who hath done this thing? Neither didst thou tell me, neither yet heard I of it, but today. And Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave unto Abimelech, and both of them made a covenant. And Abraham said, set seven ewe lambs of the flock by themselves. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, what mean these seven ewe lambs which thou hast set by themselves? Verse 30. And he said, for these seven ewe lambs shalt thou take of my hand, that they may be a witness unto me that I have digged this well. Wherefore he called that place Beersheba, because there they swear both of them. Thus they made a covenant of Beersheba. Then Abimelech rose up, and Phicol, and the chief captain of the host, and they returned into the land of the Philistines. Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham sojourned in the Philistines' land many days. As we read this here chapter, and as we studied up to this point, this there chapter could probably be summed up in probably three statements or three words: joy, sorrow, and that comes along with everyday living. I don't think there's a day that we escape joy or sorrow if we just open our eyes and look. I think too often we allow sorrow to rob us of the joy that we can enjoy, especially as God's children. fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, so on and so forth. But we will not escape sorrow. Man is full of sorrow. In every curve, in every corner, every day, we run upon sorrow in many different ways in our lives, and then we just have to learn to deal with it. When you walk with God, you walk in the Spirit, the peace of God passeth all understanding. And He'll bring you through that sorrowful time. Nowhere in the Bible does it promise us as God's children that we will escape sorrow. It's just a fact of life. As a matter of fact, our Savior, in Isaiah 53, it says He was a man of what? Sorrow. Even our Lord did not escape sorrow. You remember He had gotten word that one of His friends was sick. And He was sent for by two of the sisters, and He tarried a little longer. And when He got there, they was distraught, they was troubled, Mary and Martha. And He said, "Where is He? And Lord, if You'd only came." And the Bible says that in one verse, in verse 35, and Jesus wept. Sorrow. So here you find Abraham. In this chapter, you find joy. Surely we'd say that a man that had been promised some 20 years prior that he would have a child from Sarah and then she is born, that would bring joy. So we find that there as the promised seed is born in verses 1 through 8 as we read through there about this promise there as the Lord had said He would do in verse 1. And the Lord did unto Sarah as He had spoken. Back in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, you find the first promise of this seed. And then God had to come along and reinforce in the walk with Abraham in Genesis chapter 17, verses 15 through 19. Abraham, Sarah is going to bring forth a child. 20-year wait. 20 years had passed up to this time. And now the seed is born. And God's promise is fulfilled. It kind of reminds me of a verse in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9 that we should all familiarize ourselves with. What does it say, Pastor? It says, God is not slack concerning His promises. You say, wow, 20 years is a long time to wait. It certainly is. But you have to remember that God's time is God is outside of our time clock. Even so says to us that a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day with the Lord. So He lives outside of our time system. But even in our time system, the clock's running pretty fast, isn't it? My wife said something yesterday that was kind of profound to me. So we was driving along, we went to a wedding, and as we come back, she said this statement, and it was, the days are long, but the years are short. How many ever been there? Seems like the day would never end. Do you realize that we're almost to the end of the first month of 2020? Which we started out, and Brother James reminded me, not only was it a new year, a new day, a new decade. And we're already almost a month into this. Brother Bernie was telling me a while ago about something, and he said, we'll be back at Christmas next week. Christmas next week. It seems as though sometimes that's how it is, isn't it? It seems like we're there. So 20 years, it was a troublesome wait for Abraham. It was a hard wait. We know it was. He got himself in trouble with this here Hagar, his handmaid, at the insistence of Sarah, and she didn't like the results. I've never liked the results that I have churned out in my own might, my own power. I promise you that. When I take plan C and get away from God's plan for my life, I've always had difficulty. Now, we have a day of joy. And every promises of God has already been fulfilled up to this point that we can read in Scripture are those that are planned for the future are just as sure as the ones that has already been fulfilled. Because the promises of God are yea and amen. When He says to us in John chapter 14, I've gone to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place, I will come again. He means it. In Acts chapter 1, there is they're standing there gazing, look up into heaven, and the angels say to them, says, why stand ye here gazing? This same Jesus, which is going up, you shall in like manner come again. His promises are yea and amen. They're just not always in our timetable. Not always at all in our timetable. But Abraham is obedient to God. Verses 3 and 4, Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah had bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, 8 days old, as God had commanded him. These were things that he had been told. Dear friend, let me tell you something. We are not going to get the deeper side of God if we're not obedient to the written, revealed Word of God for us. You have to be obedient to what God has already put forth to you, or you're just going to stunt your growth. I mean, we have a bunch of Christians in our society nowadays that have been spiritually arrested because they're looking for something deeper and not willing to follow that which 66 books of Revelation. Well, Pastor, if I could just get to the deeper side of Scripture... We got to stay with what we can read and understand. Do you realize that there's things in this Bible, this book that we call our Bible, our food, our direction for life, God's love letter to us, there's things in there that yet I or you will not understand because the things of God is higher than our ways. Abraham was obedient to the simplest of things. What was simple? What did God tell Abraham to call his son? Isaac. He named it. Kind of resembles, a little resemblance there of Jesus, right? Both of them named before they was born. Both of them. Look in Matthew. Matthew chapter 1. Both of them born surely in a miraculous situation. Of course, the virgin birth, we would all agree, was miraculous. But here, Abraham was now 100 years old, and Sarai, a little younger than that, but she's well beyond the childbearing age, and she brings forth a child. So you have similarities there, both supernatural births. But in Matthew chapter 1, and verse number 21, and the Bible says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And so Isaac had his name given to him. Back in Matthew chapter 17, verse 19, God said to Abraham, you're going to call him Isaac. Now you have here, you have Jesus there in Matthew before he was born. Both of were born at God's appointed time. Verse 1 there, it says in Genesis 21, and the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the what? The set time. Galatians 4:4 says, what about our Lord Jesus Christ? In the fullness of time. So both of them have some similarities there in it. Isn't it amazing how we as God's children are so different? Yet, if we walk in the light of the Word of God, there should be great similarities in our lives. Great. I mean, we are different. We're not cookie-cutter shapes, but in our obedience to Christ, because there's not one word of obedience for me and a second word of obedience for Dick. It's the same word. One Lord, one Savior, one God. And so, as Dick obeys it, and I obey it, we come along, and before long, we're walking the same path. Do you understand when the Bible says, broad is the way of destruction, but narrow is the way of life. And what does that mean? Well, we get upon the Word of God, we walk upon the Word of God, and follow it in obedience, And dear friend, it leads to a narrow spot into life, into our road. And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So we narrow ourselves down. Same way that it's said with a relationship. If you did it in a triangle shape like that, with God being the point up here, and man and woman, or friend and friend, or whatever, pastor and sheep, we're far apart down here at the bottom, but as we get closer and closer to God, guess what happens? We become closer and closer. You know, similarities there, it's grown. And so there's some similarities here that we find in the life of Isaac. What joy it must have been at this point Isaac is born. And then there comes a special time in his life. He was weaned. Somebody had to tell me and help me out. Somebody else had cried in the temple, a lady, and she wanted a child. And that child was given to her at the promise of God. She said, I'll do something with this child. I'll give this child back to you in your service. When did she do that? When the child was weaned. And she brought and gave it there. Now there's a great celebration here. How many of you here have older siblings? How many of you are an older sibling? No, that's a better question. How many times you picked on your younger siblings? Many, I'm sure. I am absolute positive, man, that you have picked on your younger siblings. Without a doubt. Sophia, you picked on your younger siblings? It happens, doesn't it? This is deeper than just a picking. This problem started when? 17 years prior, and Sarah hasn't got right with it. Sarah is the one who concocted this here plan. Here's my handmaid. Let her have one, a child. Abraham goes in. She becomes pregnant. She's sitting on the knees of Sarah and gives birth. And then Sarah realized, I am despised by Hagar. Let me tell you something, dear friend. If you don't take care of it, it don't just go away by itself. Now you have Abraham, who's had a son in his house for 17 years. You think there wasn't a relationship built in 17 years? Ishmael's 17 years old now. And now all of a sudden, here comes Sarah once again. And what does she say? What did she say before? Get rid of her. Abraham said, do whatever is right in your eyes. And she was ran off. God found her out there in the wilderness. Said, go back to your handmaid. Though I know she's treated you hard. To Sarah, you're the handmaid. Hagar, go back. I know she's been difficult. But Sarah never got this right. Now, I don't know the picking. I don't know the mocking. It says here, as the child grew, verse 8, and was weaned, Abraham made a great feast. The same day Isaac was weaned, and Sarah saw the son Hagar, the Egyptian, which he had borne unto Abraham, mocking. I don't know, maybe Isaac walked a little funny. You know, they're not all coordinated there. I don't know what was going on here, but in my heart, my mind, this is deeper. That's just a fruit of the problem. It's not the root cause. And she never dealt with this. And now comes the day of sorrow. You had joy. Celebration. Now all of a sudden your wife says, listen, this handmaid, which you had a child with, this Hagar, she is being very, very troublesome. And look at verse 11. And the thing was very grievous. Joy and sorrow. Sorrow in the camp of Abraham. Why? I honestly believe it had more to do with Sarah's jealousy. I honestly think it had more to do. Listen, dear friend, this was a plan concocted out of the will of God, and this is the results of sowing in this way. But nonetheless, verse 12, God comes alongside Abraham. In the midst of this grievous situation, God said, Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad, because of thy bondwoman, and all that Sarah hath said unto her, hearken to her, for Isaac shall be thy seed. God come along and brought a little encouragement to Abraham in the midst of his discouraging time. That's the God we serve. He laid it at Abraham's. Abraham was ultimately responsible for this. He laid it, Abraham, you're at fault here. But it's okay. Everything's going to work out. God brings some cheer and he reminds Abraham of the promises, verses 12 through 13. He said, listen, he's going to be a great nation. And Ishmael shall rise up. And out of Ishmael, you got all the nations of the Arabs. All the nations. That ripple effect. And here it goes. But God brought some encouraging time there, some encouraging words. And Abraham says, okay. Gets a water bottle, gets a little bread, verse 14. Put it on his shoulder. And said, you and the child have to go. And there they went, headed off. They drank up all the water, ate up all the bread. The sun was hot. The desert land was grievous upon their bodies. And she found a little shrub bush over there. I noticed this here at 17. Ishmael's about 17. What does the revival keep referring to him as? A child or a lad. Over and over. Why is it that we think that our 17-year-olds are full grown? When they make mistakes, we treat them as if they're full grown. We as parents sometimes act as if they're 27, 28, 29 years old when they're 15, 16, 17-year-olds making mistakes. And God says, it's a child. Just kind of the wording there, Brother James. You know what I mean? By looking at it, it's kind of, wow, a child. When I think of a child, I'm thinking about Liam down here. A child. You got to care for, you know, keep caring for them. Well, they're just hard-headed, and well, so are you, and so was I. Stiff-necked, we bowed up. Still love them. Do your best to point them in the right direction and take care of them. But you put him over there. And the Bible says, as it was a bow shot. Brother Mike, what's about a bow shot? 70 yards? 10 yards. But it was over there. It was far enough away that she didn't want to hear the suffering of her son. It's just far enough out of earshot, I believe. I think she could still see. I think in the tears and the heartbreak and eyes, she could still see. God came down, sent an angel to minister to her and to him, and got them on their way and helped them out. He grew strong. It's amazing that the Bible says she sent him a bow shot, and his occupation was a what? An archer. I think Mama had a lot to do with that, didn't it? We know she had a lot doing with the wife. Why do you think she went down to Egypt to get him a wife? Where'd Hagar come from? Egypt. That's where she came from. Went down there and get him. You know, Isaac, when it comes time for him to have a wife, where's Abraham going to go? Send his servant where? To get one of his, you know? Moms, you have a lot to do with your children. A lot. A lot. Be careful, Mom, how you raise them, how you guide them, and how you direct them. You became an archer. Had a lot to do, I believe, with the mom there. The wife, certainly, for sure. Because Abraham has now stepped out of the picture because of the situation with Sarah. And then all of a sudden it switches. just a normal, everyday life. Verses 22 through 34, Abraham's everyday life there in his midst of the Philistine land, and he's living. He's respected among the heathen. Shouldn't we all be respected, especially with those without? That's what the Bible teaches. Those that are without the house of God, we should have a certain amount of respect. They don't like us. They don't have to. You don't have to be popular. They don't even have to agree with you. But they should respect you as a person, a man of integrity, a woman of integrity. The Philistines came and began to deal with Abraham and talk with him. And he said they were making a covenant together. And said, listen, Abraham, Abimelech said, I was kind to you. I treated you well in verse 23. I didn't deal with you falsely. Now, will you deal the same way with me? And Abraham, sure, I will. But we got to deal with this here certain thing here. My servants and I dug a well. Your servants came and they took it away violently, the Bible says. Was there not another time there was strife between some servants? Remember a couple chapters back? It was his nephew, Lot. And there was strife amongst them. Abraham tried to deal with him in a way. And Lot said, no, I'm not hearing that. I'm taking this well water plane. I'm going over here. Abimelech said, what's going on? And Abraham, listen, I think Abraham learned from this situation now. Abraham calls out and makes a covenant, seven ewe lambs, and Abimelech said, what's the ewe lambs for? And Abraham said, I'm going to give you these, said verse 29. What mean these, Abimelech said? He said, these seven ewe lambs is that you may take of my hand. Abraham's fixing to buy back something that he had dug. Abraham's fixing to give seven ewe lambs for a well that was rightfully his. I think he learned something with that conversation with Lot. I think we can all learn. I think Abraham was a little bit worried about how this relationship might go, how things might go, because it didn't end up too well for Lot, did it? I'm not blaming Abraham. Lot made his choice. But in this conversation, in this strife, in this problem that had arisen, Abraham said, hey, here's seven ewe lambs. So there's no mistaking in this. It's as if he was buying back his own way. Sometimes, dear friend, let me tell you something. You're going to have to give to maintain the respect that you have gotten in the past. You're going to have to give. So you can maintain that respect that you had earned in the past. Sometimes, listen, we're going to just have to understand, men and mom and dad, there's times that we're not always 100% right. And it's okay to admit so. It's okay to admit when you're not right. To admit that, hey, this could go a different way. So Abraham gave him that. It wasn't something that was commonplace because Abimelech said, what is going on here? What means this? Verse 32, they made a covenant. Abimelech rose up, the chief captain of his host, and they returned to the land of Philistine. And Abraham planted a grove of Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham sojourned in the Philistines' land many days. Begins with joy, sorrow, and God shows us just a routine, mundane life, everyday life, activity, but at the end of the day, it was all about God. Where's God in your life? Planted that vineyard, grove, named it, called on the name of the Lord, served God. Listen, There's a passage in Proverbs that just came to my mind, and I don't know the reference, but it says something like this about honeycombs and sweet things. It says, give me what will maintain me so I don't hate, and don't give me a less so that I'd steal. Where's that verse? Y'all heard of that in Proverbs? Y'all know what I'm talking about? I hate it when it pops in there. Have any of you ever forgot while you were doing what you were doing? Y'all know that verse? Help me out. Somebody's got their little gadgets going now, finding it. Proverbs 30, what? 7. Let's look at that verse. Proverbs 30, 7 through 9. Two things have I required of thee. Deny me not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee. Say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of God in vain. Where's God in your life? Whether poor or full. You know what Paul said? Paul said, I've learned in whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. Joy, sorrow, everyday life. Where's God? God must be in the joy and in the sorrow of our everyday life if we're going to make it through this life without great troubles and failures. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for allowing us to be in the house of God tonight. Thank you for this great group of people who come out tonight to study a little bit through your word, to come apart, Lord, to rest in you. God, as we continue our studies through Genesis, will you just show us these little nuggets day by day, Sunday evening by Sunday evening, that will help us in our everyday life. Help us to realize that the men and women of the Bible were real men and women. They made mistakes, they failed, they sinned, they made a mess of their life, but in the midst of their mess, you were there working, trying to make trophies of grace out of each and every one of them. God, help us in our daily walk. Help us, Lord, to love you, to yield ourselves to you. Lord, allow you to fix what we've broken, to make straight what we have crooked and turned and twisted. Help us, Lord, to deal with root problems and not just fruit problems. In Jesus' name. Amen.